What's up, everyone? This is Jason Frazier with the Marketing Interrupt Podcast. On this episode, we are going to talk, I am going to talk with you, my audience, about the one time I sent Tony Robbins to voicemail twice. Before I get in today's episode, I want to give a shout out to our podcast partner, AFR Wholesale, who is specializing in specialized programs. My good friend and a Mortgage X alumna, she's been a guest on there and just a friend of the program, Laura Brandeau. She is an awesome guiding light in this industry, and her company, AFR Wholesale, has been bringing families home for over a decade. They are the nation's leading FHA 203k lender for sponsored originations, and we're proud to have them as a partner. And you can check out more information on them at AFRWholesale.com. All right. Well, welcome everyone to the Marketing Interrupt Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jason Frazier. And today, as I mentioned in the intro, we're going to be talking about the time I sent Tony Robbins to voicemail twice, right? And so I tease this episode because I think it's a funny story, but there is a marketing element to this story. So it's not just a story about Tony Robbins and talking to Tony Robbins. It's really about how to use social media to help your community, to drive engagement awareness, and actually it does help with business when you do these things, right? Now, look, I would love to say that, oh, you just, you know, you be nice and do great things and good things will come to you. And even though I believe that, but there, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting a business lift for when you do something that's in community involvement. Even, and at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what your, you know, what your purpose is of doing it, what your reasons are, as long as there's something positive that comes out of it. And you're still you're still a good person, right? Like we all know some people have some ulterior motives and an agenda when doing certain things. And sometimes they're not good, even though there may be a positive outcome. But for something, you know, I think getting back to what I was saying is that like, if you put good things out there, good things will come back to you. And this is one of those stories. So this, what was it? I want to say this was 2016 or 2017. And I had, this was when I was working for Mason McDuffie Mortgage. And there was a story in the morning news. It's kind of part of my routine. Wake up and listen to some of the morning news. And then listen to the radio on the way into work. And the story I heard on the news, and I want to say it was Channel 7 news in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, where I was born and raised. And it was about these. It was a terrible story. It was a story about nuns, French nuns, who were being evicted basically from their soup kitchen that they had because the owners of the building decided that they wanted to raise the rent and basically price them out of what they were doing. Now these nuns had no savings. They were part of a small sect of their bigger church, which I believe was in was based out of New York or Chicago, and then which was an extension of a French Catholic church in Paris. And so they didn't have funds, they didn't have money, they didn't have a support system. They were just there doing good deeds, helping the homeless, being a rock in the community in San Francisco. So they talked to this, they reported on this story. And then I heard it again on the radio. So when I got to work, I went and talked to my president, and she had heard the same thing, same story. And we both had the same thought. And I was like, what could we do? Because it was a kind of a heartbreaking story because you just felt bad. Not only you felt bad for the nuns, and because not only would they just be displaced and have nowhere to really live, but they didn't have, like, they needed a kitchen and all those other places to continue doing what they did for the community, which they, of course, didn't have. So they were just in a real bad predicament. So we thought, like, what could we do, right? And so, I, of course, you know, social media being my thing, you know, back then, especially for what I was doing for the company, I was like, what if we did like a GoFundMe campaign? And I could talk to a few people, do some Facebook ads, get some promotion out there. I could call Channel 7 and see if, you know, they would help us get the word out and share, you know, maybe share the link to the GoFundMe. And again, this wasn't about like, hey, this is a great way for us to get our company in there or whatever. It was really about how do we help these people, right? And so, oddly enough, one of our employees in the accounting department, he had a friend that he grew up with, who was actually was a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. And so, you know, we had blasted an email to everyone saying, hey, we're starting a GoFundMe page, please share it out to your network so we could try to help. You know, we gave him the story about the nuns and like, so we want to try to help these nuns. And so, so we started the GoFundMe page, and then that's when one of the employees said, hey, I actually, you know, grew up with one of a reporter for the Chronicle, and the Chronicle, he emailed him, and the guy, the reporter reached out to me. I told him the story of what we're going to be doing. And so he started, covering it and, connecting me with other people who wanted to help that had reached out to try to help the nun. So we kind of say, look, we were going to do the fundraising. We weren't trying to compete with anyone. Said like, look, if you want to do your own fundraising, fine. But we're going to be putting like some, you know, some really, you know, we're actually going to be paying money to advertise this link to people on social media and, you know, just get the word out there, flyers and anything else. And so we actually did pretty good just internally, you know, matching, you know, cause at the end of the day, like what they needed to stay there wasn't outlandish. It was somewhere, I want to say it was something like $24,000 or $25,000. It wasn't like an outlandish, price tag. And, we broke it down, it's like, look, I'm willing to match, you know, so I, you know, my own personal money I put in there to match some people that were donating and the president did as well. Our company did. So we were really just trying to create like a cool movement to help these nuns. And so, you know, got interviewed about it and, you know, it was going good. We were getting a lot of, at the time we also got mentioned on the radio for that, which was great. Got some more donations in. And so we were trucking right along. I want to say we were probably like at around 11 or 12,000 within just a few days. So it was working great, happy. And then, it was funny. I still remember this because it's Tony Robbins, right? Obviously almost everyone knows who Tony Robbins is. And, it was just amazing. Right. And so, I was walking into, my marketing team's office, you know, just cause we were going to have a talk about something, and I got a call and I just sent it to voicemail, and then they called right back. It was so funny. Cause I remember looking at my team and cause I could call right back. I'm like, I hate when people don't leave a message and they call right back. So I sent it to voicemail again. I didn't remember the number. Right. And so then, we were talking, I got my little ding for a voicemail, and I don't think I saved the voicemail just cause I went through a few phones since then. It was so funny because so I had my meeting and then I remember just walking out and, you know, my office was probably, you know, maybe four or five offices down from the team room for where my team was at. And I listened to the voicemail and I was like, hey, Jason, this is Tony Robbins. And it just took me a second. I was like, and it sounds just like, I mean, yeah, it's Tony Robbins has one of those voices, right? Where it's just, you know, you know that voice, like it's hard to fake. And so I was like, and I thought maybe it was someone, of course you're thinking, oh, Tony Robbins isn't like calling me, right? It's like, it's probably something, you know, someone screwing with me or whatever. And so I'm listening to it and he's like, hey, I saw the story about the nuns. I talked to the reporter at the Chronicle. He gave me your name, said that you guys were doing stuff at your company and I want to contribute. I want to be a part of helping these nuns. You know, so give me a call back. So I call him back and it wasn't like his, I thought it was like, okay, it's like some ghost number or some, you know, whatever number or number to his assistant or whatever. Cause like, you know, whatever, but it was actually Tony. It was Tony Robbins. I still have his cell phone number. I don't call him or anything like that, but like, So it was Tony Robbins. He answered, and he's like, "Hey, you know, thanks for calling me back." And I'm like, "Hey, Tony, sorry, I sent you the voicemail. I didn't recognize the number." He's like, "Oh, no, totally get it." He's like, "You know, he's all, you know who I am." And I said, "Oh yeah, of course. You know, listen, seen your videos and you know everything else. Mom's a big fan." And he, you know, so he's like, "Well, I, you know, as you could guess, I'm connected with a lot of you know good you know." People, you know, in just in the world, business guys. And I think I could put something together to really help these nuns. And so I was just floored. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like that, you know, working with Tony Robbins on this is cool. So, and he really wanted to understand the situation. And cause he tried talking to the nuns and they, they're French. So their accents were really heavy. And it was a little tough. So he's like, "Hey, you know, I know you've been talking with them and working with them." And at, by that time we had the nuns out to our, you know, invited into our office. It was so full, cool. They baked some pastries for us and, you know, they're just really, really appreciative of everything that we were doing for them. And so, so he was asking us, asking me like, "Hey, I want to really understand the situation. And do you know anything about San Francisco commercial real estate?" And that, you know, and at that time I was connected to a few, commercial real estate brokers in San Francisco. So I knew, and I used to work and live and work and actually used to be a project manager for a construction management firm in San Francisco. So I knew it well. I knew you know, the neighborhood and everything else really well and kind of what the situation was. Cause Tony, didn't understand commercial real estate. And by didn't understand, meaning like he didn't understand the landscape of San Francisco and commercial real estate and all that stuff, nor should he, right? You know, it's just not what he does. So we actually had a good, like probably an hour long conversation about the real estate, where they could go. I had engaged a couple brokers to help find some space if we couldn't work out a deal with the landlord. I also had them communicating with the landlord, who was, as you could guess, probably kind of like that stereotypical, you know, doesn't give a crap about anybody landlords. Sort of deal to see if we could work out a deal to get that money. And if we were able to do it, you know, get that increase done enough so that they could be covered for at least, you know, our hope was to try to give them enough runway for at least a year, if not two, with the money that we're raising, so that so they could at least find a place and whatnot. And so, you know, I had a good conversation with him, and you know, it was funny. Like probably half an hour in, I'm thinking like, I would never have imagined that that I would be able to be just having a phone conversation about commercial real estate with Tony Robbins. And so it was, you know, he ended up getting involved. We went to the soup kitchen that they were running. So did he. The news covered it. And you could Google all this. Google Tony Robbins and San Francisco nuns and Mason McDuffie Mortgage, San Francisco nun. You'll see the articles. It might be behind a San Francisco Chronicle paywall. I believe Housing Wire wrote an article about it at the time. Anyway, it was a cool experience. Got to meet, you know, with Tony and all that good stuff. You know, he came in and, you know, he helped out and helped, you know, they ended up being okay. We raised the money that we needed. I think we ended up raising like around $24,000-$25,000, for them. And, it ended up just being, just a really cool story. So where does the marketing play come into this, right? Other than that, just being, I thought, you know, which I think hopefully you guys found that as an entertaining story. I thought it was cool, but you never know what is going to happen when you try to do, let's say, like a movement or a cause on social media. You never know who that's going to attract and the power of networking. So I think when it comes to a marketing lesson is, you know, don't sleep on the power of community. So, you know, when you're looking at how can I create content or what kind of strategies or tactics can I deploy as a business, to build awareness of what I'm doing, especially if you truly are in your heart of hearts, if you truly are about being in your local community, about shopping local, about lifting your community up, being a part of it in regards to helping, sponsoring little league teams, all that stuff, the stuff that, you know, fintech lenders and other people can do. If you're really about it, you know, think about what can happen from that. Think about, by putting yourself out there, by building, by building a brand and helping a local charity or something like that. Just think of all the things that can happen. And just and forget the fact that it's just a good thing to do, and that if you're in the community, you really should be in the community if that's what you're preaching and on why someone should be hey, shop local or use your local real estate expert, use your local mortgage expert. If you really truly believe that, then you really should be down for your community. And even, like I said, is like even though this is a good thing to do, but you know, a business is business. Like sometimes there can be a business uptake, and I'll tell you, like we did get, we did get some good, press out of it. We did be able to use that to, kind of just build awareness of who Mason McDuffie is. And we are a community lender and we're down for our community. And this is just one example of that. And so, it did have a positive ROI on our business. Again, that's not what we entered it for. But think about that is that, Gary Vaynerchuk always says, like, doing the right thing is always the right thing. And so, even though, you may not have a motive or something to do these things, just think of what can happen. And, for me, it's something that I'll never forget, having an hour long conversation, being able to meet Tony Robbins on something like this. A lot of people, it's just cool, right? It's just fun. But social media made that happen. And without that, and without having connections, and without having a cause or movement, a lot of that stuff goes undone, right? And then also think about who you could help. Think about, especially if you do have a large following, right? And at that time, I was just building my personal brand. I was an unknown. Nobody knew who I was or anything like that. It's not like I'm not saying like today everyone does, but I obviously have a bigger profile today than I did back then. And so just even if you don't have any followers, but just think if you do, right? Think if you're an agent or a loan officer, or someone listening to this, and let's say you have a podcast, maybe you're a national speaker, maybe you get, maybe you're getting interviewed on TV or whatever it is, just think about, the good you can do when you highlight little things, when someone needs help, a homeless family or something, and maybe you know someone that could give them the wife or the husband a job to help take care of their family, or know someone that needs a house that they could give a house for 2 months while someone gets back on their feet or something. There's especially in our industry, we have a lot of these connections. It's a small community. We have a big network for these things, and so just think about all the positive effect you could have on people's lives if you have a good following. If you have something that you can do to put yourself out there, to have a message, and it's the power of the community. It's like a network effect, right? And I actually had this conversation with a loan officer about a Facebook group, but that's one thing that we don't think about is the network effect of our spheres, right? And everyone is an influencer in some form or fashion, right? And by being an influencer doesn't mean, when I say that, I'm not using it in the term influencer like, the media and everyone else does these days. I mean, like, if you meet someone, like, maybe they're a father and their kids look to them for advice, or their brother. Maybe they're the brother or the sister that everyone counted on in the family or whatever. Everyone has their own sphere of influence. Everyone. And if you start treating people that way, if you start doing your content focused that way, like, you can affect a lot of change. And then, call to action for your network to actually step up and help. Like we were able to do, not just with our employees of our company, but employees, families and friends and all that stuff to do a cause. And the upside is that it helps your business too, right? If you're looking for that business upside. And I don't want anyone to get this twisted, right? This isn't like, hey, do good things then your business will grow, even though I believe that, but just it's a cool story. And I really one of the subtopics of this is really like, if you don't put yourself out there, if you don't utilize social media or other things, that you might be missing out on some good opportunities. Like I will always have this memory forever. I think it's a funny story. I remember everything about it. And, and also it just got me thinking, and in anything, it was more of a reason to say social media really is a place where you can affect change. And so I think with that, that is just important for you to think about. So, it's funny because, there's so many people when you, When you talk, if you're in, you know, if you've gone to a conference or like for me that, you know, talks about this stuff all the time, marketing with loan officers and agents and everybody, it's funny to see the hesitation from people when you know they really want to do it. Like you have these conversations and you give them the examples and like, hey, you could do this, you could do that. You have other people that are in their line of work. If I could show them like 10 loan officers that are using it to work and they do it. It's funny to see that hesitation because they really want to do it. And so you just got to find that way to just give them a prodding so they can break through that barrier and do it because you know they're right on the cusp. And maybe funny is not the right word, but it's interesting to see like they're just right there to do it. And so my hope with this podcast episode is marketing interrupt, right? Interrupt what you're doing, right? Interrupt the things that maybe are not working so much or so well for you. Interrupt the things that you're always doing. I just released an episode of the Mortgage X podcast with Seth Feynman when he talks about, you know, do what you've always done and get what you've always gotten. And it's the same thing. It's like, look, if everything that you did last year, you're going to do again this year, you can't expect the results to be the same. And you also can't expect the results to be better, especially with what's happening right now in our industry with the market turmoil, the coronavirus, everything else that's happening right now is that you got to get out of that comfort zone. I know it's something I've talked about plenty of times. I know you're probably sick of hearing it, not just from me, but from everybody, but it's true. And you're going to miss out on some things if you don't put an emphasis or a focus on your local community, if you don't put an emphasis or focus on your sphere of influence and the network effect that it could have, you're going to miss out on some things. It's going to be business related, could be personal related. I know 100% that, now that I'm here, that I've seen the positive effects, I've had the lift from using social media and marketing and public speaking and everything else. I would have went back and, you know, if I could go back in time, I would have started sooner or I would have put more emphasis in it, right? And we always don't want to live with regret. We always don't want to look back and say, I wish. And we all do, right? We could try best to live in the moment and do and be comfortable and try new things. Like Laura Brandale says, say yes. Always say yes. Because if you don't, you're going to miss out on some things, right? And so that's what this episode, I hope you got, just some enjoyment out of hearing that story, but also understanding that it's the power of social media. It's the power of community. It's the power of the network effect that if you don't interrupt what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. And so it's a true statement. And that's not my quote. It's something I got from Seth from our episode. But that's just something that I want everyone to really take home with them is that like, we have a great opportunity. We have a massive audience, at our disposal if we want it, through YouTube or Instagram or LinkedIn and Facebook and everything else, that can affect change, positive change in our communities. But on top of that, also, affect positive change, for our business. So I don't want you guys missing out that start being comfortable with being uncomfortable. Use the story as something like, wow, that would have been cool if it, and maybe not Tony Robbins, maybe it's someone else. Maybe it's someone local or someone that becomes your friend and that blossoms into, a lot of opportunity. And I could say right now, like, there would be so many things that I wouldn't be able to accomplish if I hadn't put everything in to being on social media, connecting and creating relationships with people. At the end of the day, that's what matters. So that's it for me on this episode of the Marketing Interrupt podcast. I hope you found it entertaining. I hope you found it valuable, educational. It's what I strive to do each and every time with these podcast episodes. And next week, we're going to have another episode of M3, and that's Mortgage Marketing Mastery with my co-host, and that's Andrew Pollock, who is the CEO and founder of Lead Pops. So that's going to be next week's episode. Until then, I hope you guys have an amazing week. Take care.